just be us and you, Lord. That there would be nothing else that we're worried about besides you. That we can just focus on you and see you and really experience you this morning, God. In whatever way, God, that we need you, I pray that you would show up in that way. For every person here, they need something different from you. So I pray that you would give them that thing that they need. If it's joy, if it's peace, if it's comfort, God, you are all those things. So we choose to look at you, our joy and our peace and our comfort. And we choose to put our hearts in your hands and to rest. This morning, I pray that it wouldn't be about another Sunday, about another tradition that we do just to feel good, God, but that it would just be our time with you and me, that I can look at you, God, that I can see you, that you can see me, and that I'm changed by you, that I don't have to keep living the same way, but I can see you and truly be different. Thank you that you love me and that you want good things for my life and for everybody's life here. We want to walk with you, God. We're here for you. Only for you, God. So that we can experience our Creator, know who He is, and know why we're here, and know why everything is happening the way that it is. God, I pray for your Spirit and your presence to be in this place. Have your way, God. We love you, Lord. Can we all stand for this first song?
Father, we have come. Father, we have come to bow down in worship, lifting up our hearts, we bow down in prayer. Let's sing it again. Father, and Father, we have come to bow down in worship, lifting up our hearts, we bow down in prayer. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Lover of my soul and hallelujah. With all of heaven we are singing some bright and morning. And bright and morning star, your eyes blaze like fire. Shine like the sun, shining like the sun. You're our one. Hallelujah, in hallelujah. You're the lover of my soul. We're singing hallelujah. With all of heaven, we are. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. We're singing hallelujah. hallelujah. With all of heaven, we are singing. With all of heaven, with all of heaven, we are singing. Cry out, holy is the Lord God, and all the earth replies, holy are you, and all the angels cry out, holy is the Lord God, all the earth replies, holy are you, all the angels cry out. Hallelujah. here, moving in our midst. And I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Let's sing, you are here. You are here, you're touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. And you are here, you're turning lives around. I worship you, and I worship you. And you are here, you're mending every heart. Oh, I worship you, yeah, I worship you. You are way maker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You're waymaker, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Let's sing it again. Waymaker, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is, see, that is who you are. And that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
See, even when.
'Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
Let's keep declaring that. Even when.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, even when I don't see it. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God,
that is who you are,
Jesus. Waymaker.
And that is who you are. 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 Oh, that is who you are. Oh, and that is who you are.
Let's see, Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who. Let's sing, that is who you are. And that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, Jesus. That is who you are. One more time. And that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Stay. picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. Sing it one more time. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender. Eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure. You cared the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what could I say?
What could I? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. What could I say?
what could I say? And what could I do but offer this heart? But offer this heart, oh God. So I'll stand with arms high and heart up and I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender. I am is yours, all I am, God, all I am is yours. One more time, God, all I am is yours. Lord God, we give you our all, we give you our everything, Jesus. You're so worthy, God. You're so worthy, God. I pray, Father, we would abandon our everything for you, God, that you may have the glory, the praise, the honor, Jesus, Lord God. There is so much noise on this earth. There are so many distractions, Father God. I pray, Lord God, we would let go of all the noise and the things that keep us away from you, Father God. I pray our eyes would be completely fixed on your eyes, Jesus, that no matter what anybody does, no matter what circumstance, no matter what season we're in, God, we would stand surrendered and giving you our everything, Father God, because you deserve our everything, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for always being on by our side, Jesus, regardless of what we're feeling, regardless of what we do, Lord God. I pray you'd speak to every heart today, God. I pray you'd fill every heart with your Holy Spirit, God. May your Holy Spirit take away all the darkness, the anxiety, the depression, whatever is not of you, Lord God. I pray it would be gone today in Jesus' name, Lord God. I pray you would fill this room, Lord God. You are so worthy. You're so deserving, God, of our all, Lord God. So, Lord, here we are. Speak to us this morning. We're here for you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey. Say hello to someone that you don't know or haven't met yet. Say hello to someone that you don't know. Everybody doing well? Happy Thanksgiving. I won't see you until after Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving now. All right. We had a great time at the bowling thing yesterday, those who came out, so thank you for putting it together, making it happen. Where's Natalie? Where's all our young people? They were all sitting right there, and they all disappeared. Oh, they're getting ready. The food and stuff ready? Okay. All right. So anyway, great job on that. And why don't we open up, if you will, or look up on the screen. Today we'll be looking at Luke 17, from verses 11 through 19, speaking on the theme of Thanksgiving. Beginning at verse 11, says, "Now it happened as he," that being Jesus, of course, "as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face," and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said this to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness on our life. We thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we get to celebrate and give you thanks, Lord God, although we should be giving you thanks daily and many, many times every day, Lord God, in the morning and in the evening. Lord, I pray that you would give us some insight into your word this morning, things that will help clarify certain truths that we can live by and hold on to and to grasp, Lord God, and to live a life that is glorifying to your name. I pray for the children as they are in their classes that you would bless them, minister to them, and help us, Lord God, in our fellowship time together, that we would enjoy each other's company and may be glorifying and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, as we look at this particular time here, this is a story about giving thanks to the Lord. And it says that Jesus is passing through Samaria and Galilee. He's passing through a certain area here, Samaria and Galilee. And this is kind of a distance from Judea or Judah. Judah is down in the south. And Samaria is in the middle of the country, and Galilee is at the very top of the country. And if you travel from the very top, I always forget to dismiss the kids, don't I? There are some things that will never, ever be fixed. So Samaria is in the middle of Israel. Galilee is at the very, very top, the northern part of Israel, and Judah is in the south. And if you're going to go from the very, very top to the very, very bottom, where the temple is, Jerusalem, it takes about a three-day walk, journey there. And it says that Jesus here was journeying through this particular area on the border of Galilee and Samaria. And 10 lepers saw him from a distance requesting their healing. And so I'd like to share along the lines of three things with you this morning, if I may. The first is the condition, and then there's the command, and then the corresponding response. First, there's the condition of what's happening, then there's the command of what Jesus said, and then there's the corresponding response of how they responded. Let's begin with the condition. The condition was leprosy. The condition is leprosy, sometimes known today as Hansen's disease. But leprosy was one of the worst diseases of that particular time in that particular age. And the scripture tells us specifically that they had leprosy. And none of the children of Israel, as they left Egypt, as they left the land of slavery and they're entering into Canaan, into the promised land, ever suffered with leprosy. As a matter of fact, there were no diseases at all. None. None whatsoever. And so one would have to ask the question then, how is it that they exited from Egypt, entered into Canaan, into the promised land some 40 years later, without having a single disease known among any of the children of Israel? And then all of a sudden here, as Jesus appears some 1,500 years later, they now have a land that is full of people that have leprosy. How does that happen? Well, the answer is simple. They began to be mixed with other multitudes. They began to be mixed with other multitudes, people who were mixing in from other cultures, brought in these diseases upon them. And just as the case with us, because we were free originally when God created man in the garden, man was free from any kind of sin, any kind of disease, any kind of, right? But when we chose to disobey God, when we chose to walk away from the Lord, that ushered in all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease here. And in the Bible, leprosy is a dreaded disease because it pictures something for us, and it pictures sin. Leprosy pictures sin in Scripture. And this very contagious disease did not have any kind of cure. It was something that began underneath the skin, and it worked its way out, and it began to kill all the nerve endings in a person's body, so much so that they would stop feeling and give it any kind of sensation in their body. And so if parts began to fall off, if fingers began to fall off, if toes began to fall off, if limbs began to fall off, they don't even feel it and they don't even know it, so much so that if a person is taking a walk and they got scraped and they began to bleed out and having this leprosy, they would die not even knowing or feeling any kind of pain whatsoever. But if they didn't die that way, this disease can take 20 or 30 years before it ended a person's life. It was a painful and slow way to die. So some Josephus, the historian, says lepers were treated as if they were in effect dead men. So it's clear to see why leprosy then is a picture of sin, because that's exactly what sin does. It creeps in and it begins to kill all the nerve endings of our reaction and response to anything that is displeasing and dishonoring to God. That's what sin does. You allow it into your life thinking it might be pleasurable for a season. It might be something that you can kind of enjoy for a while. But then it begins to kill off your relationship with the Lord, because the Bible says your sin has separated you from your God. And so you no longer have that communion, that connection with the Lord. And so you begin to no longer feel the distance, and it no longer grieves you as it may once have. And so it pictures sin. And so please notice here how the Holy Spirit is directing Jesus towards these 10 lepers, towards these 10 individuals. And it pictures the grace of God that is searching for the hurting and for the needy. And wherever Jesus goes, wherever he visits, wherever he is, it's a picture of he wants to do something in a person's life, a person who is hurting. And so if you are here this morning, whether you're here on a regular basis or you're visiting with us today, if you are visiting, welcome. But if you are, it's an indication that the Lord knows there's a certain kind of pain that you have in your life, and he wants to meet that particular pain. He knows that you are struggling with something in your life, and it's not a coincidence that the Lord is here at this time visiting this particular region and area and sees these 10 men coming his way, and they need his help. It's not a coincidence that you are here this morning hearing this. The Lord is saying, I know you have a certain kind of pain, a certain kind of pressure, a certain kind of struggle that you are dealing with, and I am here to meet you at that particular place. And it says the 10 lifted up their voice and says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Perhaps they heard how Jesus healed the leper who came in Luke chapter 5. It says, and a certain leper came in Luke chapter 5, and he humbled himself, and he bowed down before the Lord, and he says, Lord, please heal me of my leprosy. And Jesus did something. He reached out his hand, and he touched him, and he healed him of his leprosy. And they could have approached Jesus in this same way, but instead they call from a distance. And it takes a certain level of faith to call upon the Lord. It does. It takes faith to call upon Jesus and ask him for help, and to be brave enough in a crowd to ask for healing, especially when you know that you are struck with leprosy. And perhaps they had known the story of the four lepers back in the days of Elisha, the prophet. And the four lepers said to themselves, if we stay here, we will die. Let us go and see what God has for us. And as they began to move, as they began to take steps of faith, the Bible says the Lord caused the enemy's camp to fight one another, and they all fled and were destroyed. And when the four lepers went into the camp of the enemy, they saw that there was all an abundance of food, an abundance of clothing, an abundance of so much wealth that they went back and told everyone else, saying, hey, listen, the enemy has been defeated. All you need to do is take a step of faith. And the king didn't even believe it at the time. So maybe they knew that story and said, hey, listen, we need to take a step of faith and do something and move in this direction if we want to find healing. And some people are so passive in their life. Some people are so laid back in their life knowing, hey, there's a problem in my life, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to sit here and wait and see what happens. Listen, if you continue to sit here and wait and see what happens, nothing is going to change. If you want something to happen, you've got to do something a little bit differently. You got to take a step of faith and move in that direction, because God will never force himself on you. He's saying you need to lift up your voice unto God. If God has made it clear to you that you have a problem, you have an issue, he wants to bring healing to that area, but you need to let him know what it is that you want. As a matter of fact, when the blind man came to Jesus, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? It's kind of obvious. Even the blind, no pun intended, even the blind can see that the blind man needs a healing. He wants us to be specific. He wants you to know what you want, because he's not going to do any more than what you want. He's not going to violate your will. If you are looking for a healing, if you are looking for a deliverance, he's willing and ready to do it, because he does not change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. If he healed them, he's ready to bring healing to us today, no matter what it is that we are struggling with. They cried out, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Please be reminded that God hears your cries, especially the silent ones. What's that? God hears your cries, especially the ones that you don't know how to speak out loud. Because there are some prayers that we have, there are some cries that we have that we can't even put into words. And some of us here speak 2 or 3 or 4 languages, and some of us speak in tongues on top of those. But having all of that, we don't know how to articulate. We can't put 2 words together of what we really need on the inside. And he's saying, if you will lift up a simple groan. What's that? A simple groan. I hear it. I understand it. And I'm ready to meet with it. Which brings us to our second point, which is the command. So when he, Jesus, saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And the Lord here is also responding from a distance, because the Lord respects the level of closeness that we desire. What's that? If they had wanted to come any closer to the Lord would have been close to them. But since they wanted to keep their distance, he respected them, because James 4:8 tells us, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you approach God, if you come near to God, if you want to be close to him, then he'll be close to you. But if you want to keep your distance, then he'll respect that. And Jesus says to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And this command implies that they were healed, although they didn't see it yet. Now in Luke 5, Jesus cleansed the man, he healed the man, and then he sent them away to the priest. And I don't know why in one case he'll do one thing for one person and another for a different person, but that's just the way that God does things. And the difference speaks of the variety of how God deals with us. We cannot predict how the Lord is going to move, nor can we dictate anything to him. We cannot put our God in a box. He does what he wants, how he wants, when he's ready to do so. We can't say, Lord, you did it for this person this way, so you got to do it exactly the same for me. God says, no. Your situation and their situation are completely different, and you need to trust. You need to trust in the sovereignty and in the wisdom of God, who says, I know what works best for you, and I'm ready to do it in my particular way for you specifically. As I consider the story of the 10 here, I would have thought that if I was one of them, I would say, Lord, why didn't you heal like you healed the other leper? We don't see the healing yet. What is the difference? And oftentimes the thoughts bombard my mind and my heart as to why things are different. And does God have favorites? He's not doing for me what he has done for others. But listen, God cares for all of his creation. God cares for all of his creation. You are not left out in any way, shape, or form. God cares for you just the same. And so he deals with us according to his wisdom. It's not up to us to begin comparing ourselves, because that is foolishness. Because the way that God deals with Abraham is different than how he deals with Isaac, is different than how he deals with Jacob, is different than how he deals with Paul, with Peter, with James. With each person, God deals with us uniquely and differently. And our job is not to compare, because we don't see the full picture. Our role is to put our faith and trust in the sovereignty and in the wisdom of the Lord. I want you to please notice something here. In both cases, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priests. What is he doing? He's pulling from Leviticus 13 and 14, saying you need to go show yourself to the priest so that the priest can determine if you are clean and pronounce you clean and usher you back into society. So Jesus, following the law of Moses, as God instructed the children of Israel in this process, then would show themselves and allow them to enter in so they can have their families back. So they can what? So they can have their families back. And healing for their bodies is not the only thing that these people needed. They needed much more than that. They just don't know it yet. They needed their families back. They needed their children back. They need their place in the temple back. They need the right to celebrate during the feast back. They need their inheritance back. And they need their dignity back among the community. That's what they need. Why don't you just heal them, Lord, and send them on their way? And the Lord is saying, I see the entire picture, and I'm following the law of Moses, and my heart is to bring healing and restoration to the entirety of the person. That's exactly what I intend to do. It's interesting because for 1,500 years, since the time that the law was written until Jesus appears on the scene, 1,500 years, there's not one recorded person who was healed of leprosy in Israel. What's that? Not a single person? So the Lord gives the law and says in Leviticus 13 and 14, if a person is healed of leprosy, go show yourself to the priests. And not a single person is healed. So why was this written? Because the one that is able to heal is going to come on the scene at a given time and say to them, go show yourself to the priest because the Messiah has finally arrived. The one who can heal of leprosy, because again, leprosy is a picture of sin, and no one can deal with sin on their own. No priest can help you. No church can help you. No pope can help you. With all due respect to all these positions, no one can help you with the issue of sin, and you can't help yourself with the issue of sin. There's only one who can help you with this issue of sin, and his name is Jesus. This is an opportunity for the priest to recognize what Messiah is finally here. Yet no one came to question or put their faith in Christ. Which brings us to the main point of our message this morning, which is a corresponding response. Are you ready for this morning's message? I want to see if you're awake. I don't know. The corresponding response. And so it was, as they went, they were healed. It says, as they went, they were healed. And that takes faith. Because we don't feel any different. We don't see any change yet. Nevertheless, we have a glimpse of hope as we hear the Lord speaking. We have a bit of faith that God will do what he said he'll do. And for some of us, it's not instantaneous change. It's something that happens as a gradual process. What's that? For some people, it happens instantaneous when the Lord speaks. But for the majority, it becomes a process. It's typically as you go. And so Joshua, in the Old Testament, watched as Moses stands at the edge of the Red Sea, and the Lord says to him, why do you cry to me? What do you have in your hand? I have a rod. Stretch out your rod. And he stretched out his rod, and the sea parted, and the people walked on dry ground. And Joshua's thinking, okay, Lord, now that Moses is dead, and I am taking the people into the promised land, and we are at the edge of the Jordan River. The Jordan River is overflowing its bank at this time. It is swelling at this time. If you've ever seen a flood is no joke. A flood will carry vehicles, will carry SUVs. I mean, it is powerful. It is rushing water. It is not a joke. You can't trickle your way across it. You can't swim your way across this. And God says, now, during the time of the harvest, when it's overflowing, I want you to cross. He's saying, okay, God, can I stretch out my rod? Can't I do it the same way you did it for? Didn't you say to me in chapter 1, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you? Yeah, but my methods are different. My person is here. I will be with you. But the way I worked with him is not the way I work with you. What do you want, Lord? I want you to go put your feet on the water. Why would you want me to put my feet in the water? Why don't you just... Here's a thought, Lord. I can see Jericho from this mountaintop. Why don't you destroy Jericho for us? Why don't you cause the walls to come down first? And then why don't you part the Jordan River, and then I'll take this entire gang of people, and we'll cross, and we'll inherit our promised land. God is saying, that's not how it's going to work for you. I'm doing something different for you to set a premise to have everyone else follow, that something happens as you go. Your healing will happen as you go. The fulfillment of the promise will occur for you as you go. You'll begin to see the manifestation of my promises in your life as you go. I want you to put your feet in the water, and as you do, the waters will begin to plug, to stop and plug. I want you to go and march around the city. I want you to march around it for 6 days. 6 days? Why? And on the seventh day, I want you to march around it for 7 times around the city. And when you've marched around for the seventh time, I want you to give a great shout as unto the Lord. I want you to give thanks and praise to God with everything that you have. Have you seen the size of those bricks? I mean, I'm not even over there, and I can see it from here. Those are some huge bricks. What are you intending to do, God? He's saying, if you walk in my obedience. This is a word for somebody. If you walk in my obedience, then you will see the fulfillment of what I can do. You are unable to do this thing on your own, but if you do it as I have ordained you to do it, then you will see some amazing, amazing things as you go. And maybe that's a word for somebody here today. You have certain obstacles in your life. Begin by obeying the voice of the Lord to do what he tells you to do, and as you go, that was one of the things that God spoke to us when we first got the idea, crazy idea, to start the church. The Lord spoke to me and says, as you go. But Lord, this is so, like, why don't you form it? Why don't you shape it? Why don't you organize it? Why don't you prepare it? And then I'll get up and preach a message and then go home. No, as you go. As you go. Begin taking steps of faith and honoring God by serving others, and watch what happens as you go. Lord, that seems hard. That seems hard. Why don't you do it? No. As you go. Because I want to ask you a question. Who is Lord over your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? He's saying, if you will just trust me. So they said, have mercy on us. Go show yourselves to the priests. Where are the priests? The priests are down in the south. They're down in Judea. They're down in the temple area. And they're up on the border between Samaria and Galilee, up in the north. It's going to take them a day and a half, maybe 2 days to walk from where they are. And you know what they started doing? They started walking. They took a step of faith. And as they went, the Bible says, they were cleansed. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He glorified God. And instead of going to the priests, this one person who was a Samaritan, he became a priest. He became a priest and he built an altar at the feet of Jesus. What's that? Instead of going to the priests, as Jesus said, he came back to the Lord to give thanks, and he himself became a priest and worshiped right there. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19 says this, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I will offer to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people, in the courts of the Lord, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. I am honoring you. I am delighting in you. And instead of going to the temple to stand in the outer court, the Samaritan recognizes that he was standing already, not in the outer court, not even in the inner court, but he recognizes something. He recognized that he is now standing in the Holy of Holies. What's that? If you understand anything about the construct of the temple is constructed as such. There's an outer court, there's an inner court, and then there's the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwells, where only the high priest was allowed to go, and that once per year. And if you went in uninvited, you would die. Why? Because the glory of God dwelt in that place. And this man here understood that he wasn't outside. in the outer court. He wasn't even close where the priests were. He's saying, I am now standing in the presence of the Creator himself. He was standing in the Holy of Holies. He'll go to the priest, but he didn't want to miss this moment, a moment of giving thanks to the Lord and worshiping. And obedience is important, but proper obedience flows out of worship. Proper obedience, and we're always talking about obeying the Lord, and it's an important thing to obey the Lord, but proper obedience, it flows out of a place of worship and honoring before God, giving thanks to the Lord. It's the underlying factor of our relationship with God, just as Mary chose that good place at the feet of Jesus. And worship is our natural response of gratitude. And it's natural for us to say thank you when someone does something nice, yes? It's the natural thing. And worship is our thank you to God. It's the posture of the heart towards God. And every child of God needs to cultivate this grace of gratitude, this attitude of gratitude, and this attitude of giving thanks, bringing wholeness to a person. And Jesus points out, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Why is there only one who came back to give thanks? Where are the other 9? This is the condition, unfortunately, of most people who simply want something from the Lord, but not the Lord himself. And people who live this way forget God's mercy the next time they get into something even bigger. But we don't want to be a people like that. We want to be a people who want the Lord himself, not just the healing from the Lord, not just the blessing from the Lord or provision from the Lord. I want the Lord himself. And being thankful then puts everything into proper perspective, in that all good things come from the Lord. When I am thankful, when I have this attitude of being thankful and grateful for everything that I have, it puts everything in its proper perspective. God, you are the one that has brought all this into my life. I don't deserve any of this. If there's any goodness in my life, it's because you have brought it. It's because you have permitted it into my life. And being thankful then also protects us from covetousness. From what? From covetousness. What is that? Desiring things that don't belong to you. And we live in a very covetous kind of society. And we're being bombarded with advertisement all the time, right? There's a newer house, a bigger house, a newer car, a nicer car, a newer neighborhood. Whatever the case may be, we're always being flashed at with advertising, wanting things that we don't have to make us ungrateful to focus on those things. But listen, an unthankful heart, an ungrateful heart is fertile soil for all kinds of sin. So this is a good chance and a good opportunity for us to ask ourselves this morning, am I thankful, am I grateful, or am I critical and am I complaining in my life? And that'll help you determine where your heart really is. Thirdly, being thankful then ushers in the presence of God. When you begin to thank God and praise God, that ushers in the presence of the Lord. When we come here and we begin to say, thank you, Lord, we begin to lift up songs of praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people, his presence. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes his tangible presence is felt. And we say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And that fills us with joy. And Nehemiah tells us that the joy of the Lord then becomes our strength. I need joy. You need joy. It's that power that we have in the Lord. And without that, we don't have much life. So please notice that while the 9 were cleansed, it says 1 was saved. 9 of them were healed, but 1 of them was saved. I don't know why you came here this morning. I'm not sure what your motivation is, what your purpose is. Maybe to receive something from the Lord, or maybe it's for salvation itself. I pray it's for the Lord to touch you in that particular way. And so while it's great to experience the miracles of physical healing, it's even more wonderful to experience the miracle of eternal salvation. Listen, we need our hearts transformed. We need to know that we belong to the Lord. It doesn't mean that he earned anything by coming back to say thank you. We don't earn our salvation. But giving thanks indicates that something happened in my heart. And a truly saved person is a worshiper. A truly saved person is a thankful person. A truly saved person is a person who wants to honor God and honor God on a regular basis. And sometimes you use opportunities when you can, when you're by yourself. Perhaps you're in the car. And you can't wait until you're in the car by yourself. Why? So you can put on your favorite worship music on and just begin to worship the Lord and say, God, I love you. God, I honor you. God, I delight in you. God, I want more of you in my life. If that's where your heart is going, then know that you're probably on a very good path. If that's not where your heart is going, chances are your heart is completely someplace else. And this morning is an opportunity for us to redirect our hearts, because God doesn't come to condemn us. He comes to bring clarity and truth and healing and freedom. And he's saying, if you are not there, I want you to get there. I don't want you to just get stuff from God. I want you to have God. And when you have God, you have a complete package. You have salvation. You have, in the Greek word, sozo, salvation. So a truly saved person is a thankful person. This person is a worshiper. I wonder if you know what your condition is this morning. What is it that the Lord is speaking to you, and how are you going to respond to Him as He speaks? Some of us are still very much in the leper stage. We're saying, oh Lord, if you are really in heaven, please do something in my life. And you know what? He just may. But answering your prayer does not equal your salvation. What? Answering your prayer does not mean that you are a child of God. Because He answered their prayer, but were they saved? No. Just because you've had an answer or two to request that you've lifted up to the Lord does not equal, does not mean, does not indicate that you are a child of God. How do you know that you are a child of God then? And you've had a meeting with Him, and even though He said something to them, go and do this, He says, I'm gonna hear you. I'm gonna hear you. But for right now, all I can do is get on my knees, or maybe He even laid prostrate, completely on His face, and says, I just worship you. I can't help but worship you right now. There's so much glory. There's so much awe. And there's so much gratefulness because you've done something to me. You didn't just heal my body of leprosy. No. You removed something out of me that was an old nature, and you replaced it with something brand new and beautiful on the inside. You've given me this new passion. You've given me this new desire. I have a new delight now in my life. That's what indicates that you are saved and are a child of God. If you don't have passion for God, you are not a child of God. Is it okay to preach the truth in this church? Or doesn't matter, because I'm going to anyway. But you've got to have that burning zeal on the inside of you that is continually pursuing Him. Otherwise, you are either unsaved or you're backslidden. And if you're unsaved, you need to get saved and get saved today. That means surrender your heart completely and commit it to the Lord. Or if you're backslidden, then you need to simply turn around, repent of the way that you have been walking, and say, Lord, please have mercy on me today. And the Bible promises us that those who seek Him will find mercy, because His mercies are renewed upon us how often? Every morning. That means every morning when you wake up, there's a fresh batch of mercy waiting for you. That means God doesn't carry anything over from yesterday. He's not angry with you for what happened yesterday or what happened last night or even early this morning. God is saying, I am ready to pour out a fresh batch of mercy on you right now if you are willing to receive it. But stop looking at your frailty, looking at your weaknesses, and stop looking at your sins. I want you to do something right now, even if you are struggling with the worst kind of leprosy and your limbs have fallen off. I want you to shift your heart, to shift your focus, and begin to look to the Lord Himself. I don't mean in a physical sense, but I mean in the posture of your own heart. Begin to look to the Lord and say, Lord, please have mercy on me. And those who do so, out of a heart that is filled with faith and trust and hope, will find their salvation today, not tomorrow. Don't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is promised to no man. But you need to do it, and do it today. And humble your heart before Him today. And begin to put your faith and trust in Him today. And begin to worship and honor Him today. Because you know what, my friends? You were created to worship. And if you're not worshiping Jesus, you're worshiping something or you're worshiping someone. You say, how do I know what I worship? Whatever you get most excited about when you see it or hear it. Some of us idolize and worship people in the media, rock stars, musicians, what have you. That's who we worship. That's what we worship. Because when we see them, when we hear their name, our hearts leap within us. The one my heart adores. When you see a movie star, when you see somebody popular in pop culture, suddenly you've become awakened. Lazarus has arisen. That's what you worship. Which means you're worshiping an idol. Which makes you a pagan. Which means you are not a Christian. Which means when you die, you're going to hell. That's the truth. But when the Lord becomes what you honor and what you worship, then you know that you're standing on good ground. The Lord appeared to Jacob and said to him, Jacob, I want you to go back to that first place. Where is that, Lord? I want you to go back to Bethel. I want you to go back to that first place. Okay, Lord, what else? Take all of those idols and get rid of them. Your house is full of idolatry. Oh, yes, you know me, but your house is full of idolatry. There's all kinds of pagan worship that is happening in your house. And the Bible says that Jacob took all of the pagan idols, the little statues that they had at the time, and buried them. He took them all and he buried them. He had a funeral for those things that particular day. And some of us here today, we need to have a funeral for those that we are worshiping. The people that we are worshiping, or the careers that we are worshiping, or whatever it is, that we need to have a funeral. Bury those things and have a funeral for it today and begin to say, Jesus, my life is no longer my own. I belong completely to you. My life is completely sold out for you and nothing else but you. Nothing else works, my friends. Nothing else works. That's what you'd like to do today. I want to encourage you, as you close your eyes right now, the worship team, come on up. I want you to take the next few moments. Just lift your heart to God. Lift your heart to the Lord. And confess before him that there has been more complaining coming out of you than worship and thanksgiving. You have not been honoring God and thanking God. You've been complaining instead. You have been worshiping people, pleasure, different experiences. You need to confess that before the Lord right now. Say, God, have mercy on me. I realize that my heart is not where it needs to be. But today I'd like it to be, Lord God. Would you please forgive me? Would you please have mercy on me? Just in your own way, right where you are. Say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Take out the heart of stone, the heart that is cold, the heart that is distant, the heart that doesn't care. Take that out of me and put in a new, tender heart of flesh. One that loves you. One that wants to honor you and walk in obedience and worship and holiness before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Worship. We worship. We worship. We worship you and we honor you. We choose to delight ourselves in you. We choose to fall down as the Samaritan leper fell down and worshiped you. As you recognized that he was standing in the presence of holiness, in the presence of royalty, in the presence of deity, in the presence of the creator of the universe, and he fell down and he worshiped. And he gave glory to God. Lord, would you give our hearts to give glory to you this morning? Would you cause our hearts to be tender before you this morning? Would you give us to forsake all other things, Lord God, and to cling to you? Jesus. 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 let's not waste these next few minutes here. Let's just reflect on God and what He's trying to communicate to you in your heart, what He's saying to you. If He's speaking to you, respond to Him. Scripture says tomorrow is promised to no man. You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. So take this opportunity right now. Get your heart right with Him. Make sure that your sins are forgiven before you leave this room today. Make sure that you're good with God so that when the day comes, you will not stand ashamed before Him and be cast into outer darkness, but you will stand before Him as His son or as His daughter. Thank you, Lord God.
Why don't we all stand for this last song?
In your name. Found in your name the power to save, with only a whisper mountains shake. Jesus, our hope and strength. You made a way. Unlock these chains. Here in your presence, strongholds break. Freed by the love you gave, we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. And there on a tree, a merciful king, broken and shamed for all to see, the Father laid down His Son.
Darkness to light.
From darkness to light, and death lost to light, heaven and earth will join and sing. And Jesus has overcome, and we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. Deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. Oh, we give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. With every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out to you belongs the glory. The glory with that loss. And through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. Oh, you glory with every breath, and with every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out to you belongs the glory. My soul will rise to only bring you glory.
opened the sea for Moses. He opened it and he made a heap of water in the two sides, right? He made a way, right? You remember that? He made a heap of water in this side and heap of water in this side, and the people of God walked in the middle. And what happened when everyone crossed to the other side? What happened? Huh? What happened? The water came back together and drowned all the Pharaoh's army and his soldiers, his chariots and everything, right? But when, this is a new thing. When God commanded Joshua to cross the river Jordan, the Bible says that he made a heap of water. Land was open for the Israelites to cross. I read it. I made sure that I was doing, I said something right. Okay? And I was amazed. You can have a seat. It's gonna be long. No, not long. But it's so encouraging that in this time of Moses, he did something different. Two heaps of water, of walls, two walls of water, this side and this side, because he's gonna use this side of water and this side of water to collapse and, you know, to drown Pharaoh and his army. But in the time of Jordan River, he made only one heap of water, and all this water went to the Dead Sea. Why? Why? Because we don't need it. He doesn't need it. Because the water is flowing. In the case of the sea, it's not flowing, it's sitting. But also, indication that the things that will is stopping you is going to what? Go away. It's going to go away. And I was thinking about it. If we are saying that, you know, obstacles in front of us, and God is wiping this obstacle, and isn't the basic thing, the simplest thing, is to give him thanks, is to say thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done differently, creatively. You know, you're making a way for me. You know what? He made a way for you today, for me today, to live. To live. To live. Because some people died today, I'm sure. John today died today. I'm sure someone called John died today. In Africa, maybe. And I don't know. Lord bless John. But someone died today. But you are here. Can't we say thank you? Can we say thank you because we have clothes? Can we say thank you that we have food? Can we say thank you that we have water? Can we say thank you that we have children? Can we say thank you that we have family, friends, church? Can we say thank you that we have chair, seat to sit on? Can we say thank you that you have a money, that you have wallet, that you have bank account? Can we say thank you for your eyes that you see, that you have skin healed? Can we say thank you? Because some people, they don't have those things. Can we say thank you? Can we say thank you for everything that God provides, that everything God removes from our way to make a way? Can we say thank you? You know what? If you just remember the things that you don't have, you will never know how to thank him. Do you have your own castle? If lift up your hand if you have your own castle. You don't have castle. No one. Do you have your own, I don't know, island? Some people they have. Lord. No. If we count the things that we don't have, we will never be able to thank him. But if we count the things that we have, oh, it's a lot. Can we say thank you today? Can we stand again and give him the highest praise? I want you to speak out your own. Not a song. Not what I'm going to repeat. Thank him for something, but out loud. He's here. He wants to hear it. He wants to hear it. Just say thank you. Thank you for the way that you made for me. Thank you for the things that you're removing from my way to move forwards to my promised land. Thank you. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for my kids, for my family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my finances. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you give him thanks today? Let's listen one voice. Give him thanks.
Give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest.
Let's sing it together.
You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest
praise.
You deserve it.
Thank you, Lord.
You deserve it.
Hallelujah. If you received salvation today, thank you for the salvation. If he confirmed for you that you have mercy in his eyes, that you have mercy today, thank him for the mercy. If you found grace, thank him for the grace that you found today. If there's a power of healing went through your body, your soul, your spirit, thank him for the healing. By faith, even if you don't see something happen today, even if you don't see things tangible, thank him. Give him thanks. As you go, give him thanks. As you leave this place, give him thanks. Because he deserves it all. Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything that has your handprint and fingerprint in our life, Lord. Thank you for the life that you're giving us. Thank you for the breath that we take. Thank you for our everything that we go through, even if it's a full, flowing, hard situation like a Jordan River. Thank you that you make a way. Thank you, you make a way for us to go to our promised land. I speak in the name of Jesus for every life, for every life here, for every family that's going through a hard time. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, the spirit of thanksgiving to flow into this family, into this life. Teach us, Lord, and open our eyes to see how much you blessed us. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. We have...